o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch live from Steinhoffel's in Waukesha. I'm scrolling through the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed. Is this after the game, Jesse?
Yeah.
It's not, your hair looks great. Your face, yeah. Not as great.
No, I was very sad, very sad.
And then do you feel like because you have control of the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed, mm-hmm. you have the right to retweet all Jesse Nelson tweets from that account just so it gets a greater...
He definitely feels that way, and yes. I don't have any problem with it.
Yeah, I do.
Now, when he puts his own personal opinions out there, like if he wants to get into the political campaigns and things like that, then I say no, no. But if it's at a sporting event showing, I am all on board with you doing that.
I think any time from the Wilde and Tausch account, if any of our fans follow that account, but not us for any particular reason.
Not you for any particular reason.
Well, no, all of us. Like Tausch tweeted hashtag undaunted on Wednesday night after the big win. I retweeted that. You had the Moneyball clip that we retweeted from the Wilde and Tausch account.
I think we're all very daunted, though.
I saw that was retweeted as well.
Yeah, the Moneyball clip, fun fact, that Moneyball clip was made by one of my best friend's older brothers. So shout out John Crofts.
That is a fun fact.
Hmm. Yep.
John Crofts.
What?
Yeah. Yeah,
the music set to the home run.
Does he do this for a living too?
Yeah, he's tried to become like a Brewers social media guy. He is looking for work.
Crofts.
Yeah, well, get Crofts on here.
He's given us more content than
you
are.
Seals and Crofts.
Like a great time to bring that up. Thanks, Riley. Yeah, appreciate the heads up on this one.
You're welcome. Happy
to see. We'll get you guys connected since Jesse
Tomb Raider
oversees that department. So we'll get him connected with your guy. Because that was really quality video.
It was good.
That was
it's
very
good.
Good
idea. We could use somebody like that. Then maybe he could pick up a board shift or two when Jesse isn't available to produce.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Time now,
I'm
though,
sure
for Jesse
volleyball games next week.
To take the show over again because it's time now for Prize Picks of the Week presented by Prize Picks.
Yes, sir. Let's win some real money this week.
I was kind of irritated. I came back into your house, and you didn't let me hit the hotkeys when we were doing the show from the studio the other day. I like these hotkeys are fun. Continue.
I would agree.
Real projections from our friends over at Prize Picks.
When's the next time we're
going to
do a
show together
again?
It's going to be a while, I think.
Jordan Love, more or less than 258.5 passing yards.
Yeah, 389 last week.
This needs to be less. Mm. I'm not interested in another 50-throw game. This needs to be I'm dictating to you what's going to happen game. And that needs to be 25 to 32 throws. I don't want him more than 32 throws. I want him to be in that low 200s with a couple tutters, no picks, play a smart, consistent, give him another week to kind of get more comfortable on that leg. I don't want him. Nobody wants him throwing. Nobody wanted him to throw 50 sometimes for 400 last week. And certainly not on the road out after a long flight. This needs to be a game management type situation for Jordan Love. I'm going less and I feel really good about it.
I will agree. Circle gets the square. Jesse, who's next?
Next up, we have Matthew Stafford on the other side. More or less than 233.5 passing yards.
Yeah, I think he'll have more because there'll be some junk time throws. I feel like they're going to be behind and they're going to be chasing. Now, are they going to be able to protect him long enough to do it? 233 is not a big number. I think he'll end up with like mid-200s, 250, 270, somewhere in that ballpark. I think they're going to be chasing, so I'll go more.
Who's he throwing to?
That's a great question.
Is there a Higby on that team yet?
Yeah, I believe there is still a Higby. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go less. I think this is going to be a get-well game for the Packers defense on a number of levels. I think will McKinney have his fifth pick in as many games? I don't know, but I think they're going to get after Matthew Stafford. I think he's going to get sacked a bunch, and I do not think he will finish with 233.5 passing yards. Hmm.
The top three healthiest Rams wide receivers this week, Jordan Whittingham, Tutu Atwell, and DeMarcus Robinson.
Ooh, so Tutu Atwell, I'd be curious how many
Gopher.
How many yards he's had. I'm going to go more.
Oh, interesting. All right. I'll get that for you in a minute. In the meantime, how about Josh Jacobs, your guy, Tausch? 65 and a half rushing yards.
Well, I would normally say no-brainer, but the comments after the game last week where I don't sense they were real happy with some of the things that Josh Jacobs did in pass pro and some of the other stuff. I still think more because I think he's a competitor. I don't think he likes, he didn't have a great week. I think this is your kind of tailor-made to get after it this week. But old boy had a pretty good, he did a nice job. I think they feel a lot better about bringing in old boy too. Emmanuel, I'm going more just because I think they're going to really, really emphasize running the football this weekend.
I believe it will be more as well. I also thought that Adam Stanovich said something very telling yesterday, the Packers offensive coordinator, when he said when he picked up the right guy, he was very good in pass protection about Josh Jacobs. So I believe
is that a compliment,
that the though? No, I said it was telling.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that means that he was having trouble identifying who he was supposed to pick up against the Brian Flores defense. Not facing Brian Flores this week, I think his playing time will be
fine. You know what happens in this league?
It comes at you fast.
No, well, that too. But teams see things that work on film. What do they do the next week? Let's see if you shored that up. Okay? Josh Jacobs will be tested, and just like Narvi needs to make kicks, Jakey needs to show, I'm not going to blow a protection assignment and get my quarterback killed. Because if that happens again,
yeah,
they ain't going to be out there.
Yeah. Next.
Tucker Kraft.
I don't think he's been a baller.
I don't think we've had him in the prize picks of the week yet this year. More or less than 3.5 receptions.
Ooh.
If they're throwing the ball at minimum like you want them to on Sunday, Tausch, maybe less.
Yeah, I like more yardage because I think he'll you can see his rack. He's got good rack. I think less on the catches, though. I think it'll be at 3. I'm going to go less.
Jason?
I'm going to go more. I think he'll have a 4-catch game. So I will go more.
That's a really good projection by Prize Picks.
I would agree. I yes. I would also say this. I would love for him to have a big game because my Jason Eck-inspired story is going to have to wait a week because I really like what I've got on Jaden Reed, who taught me a new term, energy vampire, which I will explain a little bit later in the show. But it's really interesting. I had never heard this before. Totally going to use it myself.
So he likes day games. Is that what that is?
No, well, no, I guess I'll explain it now.
Garlic.
Now that I've distracted you. So basically, you are an energy vampire. If you have bad energy.
Vinegar? Or is low, it? Oh, it's garlic. That vampire.
And garlic.
Garlic, yes. Or vinegar. Vinegar's gross, too.
A lot of time
by the way, garlic is not gross at all. Garlic is awesome.
Like an apple.
Yeah, you're not just going to go, garlic.
In a small dose, it is fine.
Diced up and like cooked with stuff, it always makes your food better.
It's great.
Tell me something you put garlic on you don't like better. Garlic bread. Pizza, you put a little garlic. You put a little garlic in with chicken. Yeah. You put garlic in with anything, it's going to be better.
I don't like big, giant cloves of garlic in my food.
Nobody's saying that, though.
We've been making this egg roll in a bowl dish with cabbage and ground beef and chicken. Yeah. You throw some garlic on there. It's very
good. Yeah, I just don't know what you're putting garlic on that's going to make it worse. Like, I don't know. Somebody could tell me.
Braden Narveson is next.
Captain Energy Crunch Vampires? Cereal.
You're Energy Vampires. You are sucking the energy out of me.
Warm foods. Okay, I'm going to...
Yeah, Captain
Because now
Crunch,
all of a sudden,
Riley's,
oh, well, put in milk. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, we get it, Riley. Yeah, we're not... You don't just dump garlic on everything. But I'm telling you, if you put
cheese on everything, if Tausch just put garlic on everything.
If you're cooking with something and you add garlic, you're going to be happy you added garlic.
Warm food.
Now,
I'm eating a donut right now.
Your spouse might not like that afterwards because... You get all garlic.
Yeah, this is a laughter.
What about instead of like a cinnamon sugar donut, you had like a garlic powder donut?
Again, you're
could that
cooking.
Be good?
Yeah,
that's how you cook that. You fry
you tell
that?
Me a little garlic if you put the right mix with it. If it's a bacon,
could work.
Yes.
Yeah, that actually could work. Never mind, that could work.
A bacon donut.
You put a little bacon.
What happened
on there? You put a little garlic on bacon.
Garlic bacon donut.
That's gonna be good too.
Riley.
What? What?
Enough. Braden Arvidsson, more or less than 7.5 kicking points.
I'm out of the Braden Arvidsson game.
Oh, come
I'm
on.
Out.
I put this here just for you, garlic boy.
I'm out. I told you, once bitten, twice shy from a vampire standpoint. I'm out. I'm not touching Narvi.
I didn't even do 1.5 field goals, which is the projection.
I'm not touching Narvi this week.
7.5 points.
With Steinhoffel's partnership with the Packers and Special Spaces of Wisconsin, which leads to a $1,000 donation to Special Spaces with every field goal they make, I want him to have one of those Greg Joseph games where he makes 5 out of 5.
Okay.
And that's $5,000 happily donated by Steinhoffel's to Special
Spaces. 7.5 points is 2 field goals and 2 extra points. I'm not sure he's making both extra points.
He hasn't missed an extra point yet.
He's perfect on extra points.
Until now that we said that.
So because you brought up the Steinhoffel's component to this, and I am a karma guy. I'm a good karma guy.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to go more. I don't love it because I don't trust Narvi. I just don't, just like Matt LaFleur doesn't. And that's what scares me.
Yeah, they're going to send him to Birmingham.
Let me tell you something. If it's 4th and 3 and it's more than a 40-yard field goal, they're going for it. They're going to.
Who is the kicker of the Birmingham Stallions this year? Is that a guy that could
Bates.
Be
I think there's a Bates.
We've been over that guy.
Okay. All right, those are our prize picks of the week presented by Prize Picks, which Tausch really plays. Whether or not he'll play Braden Arvidsson, you are not committed to do so.
I'm not yet, but the only thing I don't love is the Caleb Williams little slot not available this week. But Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Over 10 million users. Prize Picks, the easiest, most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And it's simple. It's so simple I can play. Pick more or less on a 2-6 player stat projections. I'm definitely going to go Jordan Love with that number. What is that number again, Jesse?
258.5.
I'm going less because I think that's the way this game is going to go. I'll find my other ones. It might be Narvi. But the beautiful part is if I can go 4 correct picks, I can win 100 times on my money. Prize Picks is the best way to win real cash this season. I'm going to turn my sports opinions into real money. Sign up today. You get $50 instantly when you play a simple $5 entry. You don't need to even win to get that $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Download the app today. Use that code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5. Again, code WI to get the $50 instantly. Prize Picks, run
your
game.
Our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week live from Steinhoffel's.
Oh, did we get any reports from our team? Has the 565's analytics firm, because we have to confirm and or deny whatever that's going to look like before we make these picks.
I think we all know that because you're trailing Jesse, you're looking for an easy way to make
them. I'm not. It's early in the season. I'm not worried
boost.
About Jesse.
Yeah.
Right now.
Okay, you can say that all you want.
Jeriad has a question for you, Tausch. If we do double points, if players negatively impact, is it also double negative points?
Well, I mean, the least you can get is 2 points, right? It'll be 6-4-2 this week. That's how I would draw it up.
Yes.
So I don't think you can go negative.
But there are penalty points in place that haven't come into effect yet.
I would think what we could start doing, and I'd leave this up to the analytics firm. If I pick Bo Melton and he drops a tutter and does not, a ball flips off his hands and it's an interception, I'm not opposed to the analytics firm saying, oh, that was so bad you lose a point. I'm okay with that. Gives those guys a lot of power, though. It does.
Well, we will make our picks and then we'll see what happens next. It's Wilde and Tausch. One of the best parts. God, you're talented. One of the best parts of doing this and having been with Steinhoffel since the very beginning. There's a joke in there about the couches at some point, I know. But one of the cool things we do is every week we do our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, and then the Steinhoffel's social media team mm-hmm. chimes in, right? But every time we do the show from a Steinhoffel's, we have one of the luminaries, sometimes it's Chad.
Why are you poo-pooing Chad?
Yeah.
Because he's not the president. His last name's not Steinhoffel. He's not the fourth generation.
Okay.
He's a very important cog in the Steinhoffel's machine, but he's not Andrew. We've got the president of the family-run, employee-owned Steinhoffel's participating in our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week this week. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and especially I have not seen if our 565 analytics firm, Andrew, it's double points. Every time we do a remote at Steinhoffel's, it's even that much more important. So your social media team, you know, is chiming in always. So there's a little more pressure on you to really deliver the goods.
I'll do my best.
That's all we know.
I make no promises, though.
All right. So before we get to our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, this just handed to me by Lance Davis. It's the same thing I've been saying throughout the whole show, but he handed it to me anyway. It is the 90th anniversary celebration going on right now, and their weekend sale is their best brands, best prices sale. You'll save 10% off almost everything except for the Sistine Chapel ceiling that you can't take with you from the store here. And on Saturday, they've got the retro Bluetooth speaker doorbuster. I put mine away because I didn't want to lose the cords, but it is a thing of, like, it is so awesome how old school and new school it is. It's new technology, but celebrating 90 years right there. If you're watching on the YouTube feed, right there. Look at this. This is amazing.
You know, and I always, you're playing pickleball, it's always great. We have those little portable speakers. Now I'm going to be able to bring this out. And I believe the
it
first.
It's like an old timey radio.
The first 100 people? Is that what happened? First 100 people get
one
of these little bad boys?
If you're 101, you better know somebody because it'll be over for you. So Saturday, the first 100 people in on Saturday, whether it's this store, whether it's the one in my neighborhood in Green Bay, you will get a free Steinhoffel's retro logoed Bluetooth mini speaker just for swinging by. And I've got mine right here. Again, this is so great. All right, time now for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Don't sleep,
you gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilby and Tausch.
All right, Andrew, I know you don't like it when I say this, but you're kind of a big deal. So you're going to go first. That way, Tausch will have to be stuck with the low-hanging fruit.
And you know what? Even though he's the president, I still may be critical depending on which way he goes.
I hope I don't disappoint.
It's been great having a great partnership with you. Can't wait till Tausch ruins it in about 3 minutes. Andrew, who you got?
Well, I'm going to go with the Packers defense this time and go with Isaiah McDuffie, a Boston College alumni.
Ah, I know a guy who went to Boston College.
Exactly right. Continuing the tradition of Boston College linebackers.
Are you happy as an alumnus that Jeff Hafley is the Packers defensive coordinator instead of the head coach now?
Great question.
That's a good question.
I ask the tough questions, even of presidents of important partners. You know,
it's winning either way, right? So we'll take it.
This is why you're so good at your job. All right. Isaiah McDuffie is the selection of Andrew Steinhoffel. Tausch, you are up next.
So I do believe that the defense is going to dominate this game. I think that's what needs to happen for them to go out to L.A. and win. As much as I want to pick Rashawn Gary because I do think he's going to be a dog, I think he's going to end up being my dog of the game. I'm going to preemptively pick him as my dog of the game afterwards. I'm not going to do that,
Justin,
because I think
calling
it's
from San Diego.
Hey, Justin. Swarming. So
I wanted to talk about last night's Brewers game. I want to talk about the Packers game this weekend. I'm going to SoFi.
Hi, Riley.
Yeah, we need to hit
if
that
we
button.
Could turn off the person calling.
We'll get Justin. Make sure you get his Steinhoffler. So I think the Josh Jacobs quotes were really interesting. And the fact that Steno said what he said yesterday, I think Emmanuel Wilson's going to get some carries now. I think he's going to get some reps. I think he's going to have a big play in the passing game. I think I'm going to end up gaining my double points and pulling in the lead over Jesse with picking Emmanuel Wilson as my Steinhoffel's sleeper of the week.
I am so thrilled by that selection because I think they're going to go back to Josh Jacobs and you're going to end up with negative points and we'll all be happy that you've pushed yourself further down the standings because I'm the one who needs the double points most desperately. And does that mean I can take a guy who dropped three passes last week? Is he a sleeper? Is Dontavion Wicks a sleeper?
Again, as Jesse has so eloquently put, it all... Everything, the expectation has to be above and beyond. You can't take the starter stars.
So Jaden Reed is not available because we all agree he is their number one receiver.
As we sit here right now.
All right. I think that would be a dirty pool if I took a guy who had two touchdown catches and is open 82% of the time he runs a route. So instead, I will select Bo Melton as my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week. Bo Melton, who did not go to Boston College, but is one of the guys that I like in that locker room. All right. Those
Jesse,
are
who in proxy are you picking? I'll let everybody know. Javon Bullard.
Oh, two on defense, two on offense. We'll see who emerges.
I really think the defense can have a big game. I wanted to go Kenny. I'm going to probably regret not going Kenny, but I'm sticking with my guy.
How do you feel about Andrew's selection since you had said that you were going to critique
it? I like it because you're hearing about everybody else, Quay Walker, and all it's going to take is McDuffie to make one play. If he makes one big play, Andrew's going to be the big winner.
I'll take it.
All right, Andrew, I know you don't like it when I put you on the spot, but
so you're going to do it.
I'm going to do it anyway. So Domofsky can wait. You know, you guys obviously have been a fantastic partner of ours. You've been with us from the very beginning of this show, and that you know how much loyalty means to me, and I appreciate that. I do wonder, what is it like around here during the 90th anniversary celebration? Like, the fact that you can even say that. Like, when we talk about what you guys are doing with Special Spaces, at one point I say in there, since 1934, your destination for mattresses and furniture, what is it like to be part of that legacy? It has to be amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty great. We've been in Milwaukee for 90 years and throughout Wisconsin, and we continue to grow. And so it's an exciting time to be part of Steinhoffel's. And, you know, I'm just really just honored to continue kind of that family legacy for 90 years. And hopefully we get to 100 and another 90 after that.
So. And you've moved into Chicago Bears territory. How's that going for you?
So far, so good. You know, it's a really great market for us. I think the Wisconsin... nice and quality is playing well down in the Bears market. You know, it's a little bit of an internal friendly rivalry, I'll say.
Nice.
With the Bears and Packers going back and forth.
We have the same thing with our friends at ESPN Chicago. And speaking of Chicagoans, a Chicagoland native, our friend Rob Domofsky joins us next to talk Packers as they get ready for the Rams. Andrew, great pick. Great to spend time with you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Rob Domofsky is next, live from Steinhoffel's, although he won't be here. It's Wilde and Tausch. You know what that music means? Every Friday he joins us. Nobody better in this business. From ESPN, NFL Nation, it is Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch. Rob, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Are you speaking into a tin can, Jason? It's like the echo is unbelievable.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's Riley's fault, too. No, you sound great to me. You look great in your office at Lambeau Field. Hey, talk to Rashawn Gary for me in case I don't get there in time for locker room. quick question before we get into the Packers. So, and I don't want to go down this road for me again, but because you do the same job as I do, these guys struggle to understand the not a fan concept. So of teams that exist, who are you fans of other than Roan and Hogan Domofsky's teams that they play on?
Mostly just friends of mine that I have met over the years in this business, whether it's coaches I've covered that I've enjoyed that have gone on to other places, or just people I've become friends. I root for the people there, not the jersey name, I guess, if that makes any sense. You know, it's just I've told the story before, probably. I'll tell it again. There was one time when the Badgers were Badgers football team, and you'll have to correct me or tell me what year it was because I don't really remember. But they were in the Big Ten championship football game. I think they were playing Penn State. Was out with a bunch. Maybe I think it was Penn State. Either way, we were out with a bunch of friends having a great time in a local establishment. I was only half watching the game, but just such a, we were just having one of the best times out I've ever had. The Badgers lose. Game's over. It's like 10:05. Everyone's gone. I was like, what just happened? Like, it's over. The night's over because your team lost? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't expect these guys to understand.
Yeah, I think you guys are just a little jaded, if I'm being honest.
It just changes you. This job changes you. I don't want to waste time on it.
That's
I'm just glad that
you guys are jaded. That's what it comes down to.
When I was a kid, right. I was a huge DePaul basketball fan. My dad went there. They were
Ron Meyer.
I have no idea. People probably have no idea that DePaul basketball was actually good in the 80s and 90s. But I remember going to NCAA tournament games, Sweet 16s, as like, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth grader, and just having my heart broken every year. And maybe I just decided that was enough was enough.
Mm. Well, Tausch will show off more of his Blue Demons knowledge as we continue with our
Rosemont
time with
Horizon
you.
Is where they play.
But right. Be that as it may, I would love to discuss your fandom all day, but instead let's talk about the team that you cover.
In fairness, you brought it up.
I did.
Rob, are they going to get this pass rush fixed? That's what we've talked about a bunch this week. The Rashawn Gary component, Kenny Clark. Last week, not good enough up front. This week, the Rams' offensive line is beaten down. What's the vibe? What are you expecting to see out at SoFi this weekend?
Well, I can only understand about every eighth word of that in the echoes, but I think you asked about the pass rush, Tausch, and the one thing that struck me is that the Packers are allowing quarterbacks the most time in the pocket of anybody in the league. Like, to me, that's mm-hmm. just – that's where it starts, right? Like, you have to disrupt – the pass, you have to disrupt the quarterback, and however you can do it, whether it's blitzing more, I don't know if there's anybody on this defense that can go to Jeff Hafley and say, this is what we need to do, and we need to do it this way. The old days, Leroy Butler would always go to Fritz Schirmer and say, we need more, and then they'd blitz more. Now, I don't know if that was just Fritz already planning to blitz and letting Leroy think mm-hmm. that he had that kind of uh-huh. control over the defense, but we're still, I know we're only, we're four games into this thing. I still don't know enough about the inner workings of how Jeff Hafley plays defense to know what the fix is. All I know is that they have to get more pressure on the quarterback, and that's just the bottom line.
Rob, when you talk about that, though, let's talk a little bit about Rashawn Gary. You know, you and I and the rest of the group had an exchange with Jeff Hafley. What's realistic to expect out of him? I thought Jeff Hafley's answer about he's got to do more for us and we've got to do more for him was a great little kernel of honesty in a very long series of answers that were protecting his player from his lack of production.
And the echo is gone, by the way, so Jesse, you must have worked your magic.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, Rashawn Gary he didn't just forget how to pass rush, okay? Like, mm-hmm. that's just, like, let's just get that out of there, get that out of the way right now. His pass rush win rate, I know Tausch loves this stuff, in 2021 was 14.6%. In 2022, it was 23.5%. Like, that's off the charts, right? Last year, 9.6%. This year so far, 10.4%. Yeah, I know it's only one metric, but he actually had more sacks last year. Of course, he played more games in 2023 than he did in 2022. But he had 9 sacks last year with a 9.6% win rate. And the year before, in 9 games, he had a 23% pass rush win rate, and he had 6 sacks. So, I guess the more I read this, the less I have any idea what it means. But,
I'm doing this on the fly. That's how it shrugs.
Dynamite drop, Rob.
Bold.
I guess stats are for losers, and they don't mean anything other than they need Rashawn Gary to get after the quarterback more. But I still go back to the same thing, and like Rashawn Gary did not forget how to pass rush. It's a little different scheme. I get it. But I don't know that like the Rashawn Gary's contract was a complete disaster conversation is the right one to have on October.
No, but they need more out of him, right? And no question. He's not getting double teamed more than Micah Parsons is. He's not getting double teamed more than Myles Garrett is. Those guys are elite level players who get a lot of attention from opposing offenses too. And so why I thought this was interesting, Rob, was that, you know, it's great that Jeff Hafley wants to take the blame that he's not doing enough to help him, moving him around more, et cetera.
Yeah.
But when those opportunities come, he has to cash in. That's true of any player. I don't care what his contract looks like. Just like Dontavian Wicks getting open 82% of the time, if the ball gets thrown to you, you can't drop it. And he knows that.
Right.
I just think that, you know, there's got to be some ownership here of, hey, we don't have to protect Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary knows he's got to get home more.
Yeah, I think those are two great points about two players, but with different issues. I mean, Dontavian Wicks is a mental. It's a mental thing. You know, the coaches said it's mental. He said it was. Rashawn Gary, this is a physical thing. You know, he's not, like I said, he's not forgetting his rush moves. The thing that, you know, just I find really interesting, and I'm not sure what to make of it, or why it's happening. It's like in training camp, there was nobody that was more dominant defensively than Rashawn Gary. Day after day, pass rush after pass rush, series after series, this guy was in the backfield nonstop. Now, maybe it's the offensive line he was going against, and maybe that was, you know, Zach Tom didn't play a whole lot of team in training camp, but I still find it hard to believe that he's not able to do what we saw him do just, you know, 7-8 weeks ago.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the kicking game. You had a great conversation with Braden Narveson, talking about how on other teams he wouldn't be here still. What are your expectations for him, knowing that his next kick could be his last if his inconsistency continues?
Yeah, I think the issue, Jason, is not just that, but what are the other options? And at this point, you know, until Greg Joseph gets released from New York when their regular kicker comes back, I don't know that there's a good option out there. You know, Alex Hale is here. He is the practice squad international player. I don't think he's ready to kick in the NFL. At least he didn't show that from what we saw during late in training camp when he got here. Now, we don't get to see him kick in practice all the time. But, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, Braden Arvidsson, it's almost like he knows, like, you know, he's like another miss and I'm in trouble. And he's like, I'm just going to go cut it loose and whatever happens, happens, which I think from a mental standpoint is probably the way to approach it. Now, from a physical standpoint, he said it's very clear what's happening is that plant foot, the left foot is getting, you know, too far wide or open, and therefore it causes him to swing more to the right. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a golfer. The more he aims left, the more he slices it, right? Like, I mean, it's just I just think that for whatever reason, you know, he's unable to, at least has been unable to get that motion perfected. So there's two aspects of this. There's the technique, and then there's the mental aspect of it. And as you know from talking to kickers over the years, both of those things are equally important.
No doubt about it. So, Rob, did you find the conversation with Steno about Josh Jacobs as interesting as I did?
What I found, Tausch, interesting is a lot of things. Is that, for one, Matt LaFleur, when asked after the game, you know, why it was more of a split, he talked about pass protection issues. Okay, we had never heard previously any issues with Josh Jacobs' pass pro. I still say this, and I know, I don't think we've had a chance to talk to Jacobs this week. Have we, Jason? At least I have not seen him in the locker room, or haven't had a chance to talk to him.
I have not.
But on the very first carry, he came to the sidelines, and the doctors or the training staff, medical staff, was looking at both his hand and I believe it was his right ankle. Like, to me,
correct.
And they never announced an injury, and he's not on the injury report. But, you know, I just wonder if something happened there that threw him off a little bit, you know, mentally or physically. And then, you know, the idea of, you know, after the 32 carry game, everyone thought that was going to be the norm. Well, I don't, I mean, not even that the norm, but 25 carries would be the norm. And I don't know that I ever necessarily bought into that because Matt LaFleur's never really done that before, you know, regardless of who he's had at running back. So, look, I think when you pay him, you know, what do they pay him? $12 million bucks this year. You expect him to not split snaps with an undrafted free agent who barely played last year as a rookie. So I think that's definitely something that I would like to keep an eye on and see how, you know, how it happens this week. Because if this becomes, you know, like a pattern, then you're like, well, why did we pay Josh Jacobs the kind of money that we're paying?
Yeah, especially watching Aaron Jones play a pretty good game at Lambeau. So do they trust Josh Jacobs in pass pro right now?
I mean, based on Matt LaFleur's comments after the game, you would say that there's issues there, which is, you know, another thing that I'd like to ask Jacobs about and ask him what they're telling him and what he needs to do better at.
Because it's not that he's missing blocks. It's that he wasn't blocking the right guy, right? Is that not how
that was what Steno sounded like yesterday, right?
Yes, correct. It was an assignment issue.
And Rob, last one for me. So is this not a game the defense needs to just own? You're heading out to L.A. They are beat up. No wideouts. You know, Coop and Puka not playing. Their O-line beaten down. So you can't imagine if the Packers are throwing more than 30 times, I think this is a game that got away from what their plan should be. This should be a suffocate, run the football, play smart, don't give the Rams any opportunities, make them earn everything. And if you do that, you should be flying back with a win. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I do. And the other thing I think, Tausch, that I think could be a factor, it's part of the passing game, but it's really more of a physical part of the passing game. To me, this is like tailor-made for a Tucker Kraft kind of a physical, let him, you know, make tough catches over the middle. Did someone pick him for the Steinhoffel sleeper?
No, but would you say he's over 3.5 catches?
He's going to get more than 3.5 catches, Rob. That's what we're really interested in.
Especially with Luke Musgrave not practicing all week, looks like he won't go. I think this is a game where it's a physical football game, and they, you know, not that they score 35 points, but they go out and score, you know, 24, and they do it in a grinded out way, and you know they win a game like 24-13, where both ends of the both sides of the ball. Both sides of the ball hold up their end of the bargain because of exactly what you're talking about with the Rams offense.
Well, it's great to have you and Tausch on the same page. Last thing, you're going to head out to practice in a little while. You mentioned Luke Musgrave. Jair Alexander was limited yesterday, which I don't know if we were expecting him to return to practice this week or not. What would that – I know Sarah Barshop's team out in L.A. does not have a whole lot of wide receiver health going on, but – what would it mean to get Jair and potentially Carrington Valentine back? Would have been nice if you're a Packers fan to have him last week as opposed to this week.
Yeah, that's for sure. And aren't you supposed to introduce her as former ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison intern, Sarah Barshop?
I introduced her as my protege, really, more than anything else. So my mentoring was such a critical part of her development.
Well, she did okay in spite of your mentorship.
Indeed.
A lot of them have. The one thing that I think is you know interesting about Jair is that if you look at the injury report, it's only groin. Last week he had the quad injury that he was able to practice through on Wednesday, and then Thursday he got hurt, and it was the groin, not the quad, that was the issue. So I know they're both soft tissue injuries, but you know a groin for a guy who's got to plant, put his foot in the ground, and use his speed is not necessarily the easiest injury. You know, I don't know whether practicing yesterday on a limited basis and today will be enough to, you know, let him play this week. But I mean, if they can, you know, get him back, is it Arizona or Houston after that?
Arizona, then Arizona. Houston, then Jacksonville are the next three.
Yeah. I mean, looking at Arizona, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., I believe he's leading the league in touchdown catches with 4. There's only two guys that have more than, Dontavian Wicks is 3, and Marvin Harrison is one of them. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you can't do anything about last week. You would have loved to have both those guys. Carrington Valentine, Jace, he seems like he's been hurt basically since training camp, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he missed
always
a ton of training camp. And now, you know, after playing a couple games and really seemingly his playing time was on the upswing in that sort of split with Eric Stokes. And now he's back, you know, being injured again. Like, I thought Carrington Valentine was one of the great stories and the great rookie stories of last season. And, you know, right now he's been a non-factor.
All right, Rob, safe travels to Los Angeles. We look forward to catching up with you on Green Bay game day before the game. And we'll talk to you again next week, and I'll see you hopefully later today if I can get back to Lambeau in time. Thanks, buddy.
Sounds good. On all the great travel arrangements that I made for myself, I fly to Detroit to go to L.A., so that'll be a nice long one.
Tosh, any California recommendations for him?
He only spent a month there.
Yeah, go ahead. Go up to Napa and Sonoma.
Yeah, I haven't got that much time.
The Jordan Winery, you got...
I like to go, when I'm in L.A., I like to go to Santa Monica and just walk on the beach there and the pier, but I don't know if I'm going to make it this time.
Like Costanza, considering his life, he is Rob Domofsky in Los Angeles. Thanks, buddy.
All right, we'll see you.
We got one more little segment of the 10 o'clock hour live from Steinhoffel's, where, again, we are celebrating their 90th anniversary. Make sure you come in tomorrow, and if you're one of the first 100 people, you get one of those really cool retro Bluetooth mini speakers with the Steinhoffel's old school logo. I saw Andrew Steinhoffel had a hat with the old school logo. I'm going to see if I can get me one of those. Nice. It was pretty sharp. Add it to my collection down in the radio studio in our basement. More live from Steinhoffel's next. It's Wilde and Tausch. So, Tausch, I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but that was kind of the vibe that we started with today because of the Brewers losing Game 3 to the Mets 4-2 last night after taking a 2-0 lead into the final inning. How concerned are you going to be if a get-well game turns into a, oh, they're still sick game, and they don't – I mean, it's still a road game. These are still NFL players.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. I don't want to make – but this would be very concerning if they don't win this game.
Yeah,
very concerned.
This, I'm starting to get the vibe of that Patriots game 2 years ago when the Patriots were bad. It was the first year without Belichick, without Brady. And it was Bailey Zappi. They came to Lambeau, ended up going to overtime. Paul Chris got fired at the end of the game.
I remember that very vividly.
That's the kind of vibe I'm getting.
He didn't even have anything to do with that game, and he got fired.
Like, that's the vibe I'm getting from this weekend's game, where it's like, all right, should be Cakewalk City, Rams are banged up.
It's on the road.
For whatever reason, it feels like the Packers play with their food a little bit for a while.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, like Scar in The Lion King. All right, well. Yeah,
Scar, right, Tosh?
I don't want to make it out like this is going to be like you're playing a cupcake in the beginning of a season in college football. That's not where this is, but you could not ask to play a team at a better time. You know what they always say when the schedule comes out? It's not who you play, it's when you play them. This is exactly what you're looking for. They are beaten down. You need to suffocate them.
Boa constrictor.
Whatever. Yeah. But suffocate City. And I don't necessarily care what the score ends up being. I don't need it to be a juggernaut, some big showcase of how great our arsenal is. That'll be great. That'll mean that things have kind of progressed the way you're hoping, but this just needs to be a dub, period.
Do you think when, like, real Steinhoffel shoppers come in here and the three of us knuckleheads are in the front, they're sitting there going, they're going to get a bedroom set or something. They're like, what the heck is happening here at the beginning of this store?
Your mind works in funny ways.
It was funny to watch them.
That definitely just happened.
Danny was thinking the
same
thing.
That definitely just happened. They're just here for a new bed set.
Well, and they're wondering why Jesse has a container of Glazers on top of his laptop.
Well, because it's time to talk about my favorite pit stop, Quick Trip. Take a trip down memory lane at the bake sale. Get those cookies just like Grandma used to make. Grab a dozen for $4.99 and a four-pack of your favorite cookies for only $1.99. If you're looking for something for breakfast, well, those big, supple, delicious muffins – only $1.99. The bake sale's perfect for sharing or just treating yourself. And it's not just the sweets at Quick Trip that you're into. You know the chicken. We grabbed some chicken last night. Max had a couple chickens after the thing. Roasted chicken every Monday for $5.99. Bone-in or tenders, $9.99 on Wednesday. And they're hand-breaded, boneless, and beautiful. But wait, there's more. More deals at Quick Trip. 99 cents for a loaf of the Quickery white bread. 99 cents for 5-ounce Kitchen Cravings boneless pork loin chops. Don't forget the coffee. I grabbed me a big old 20-ouncer today for my drive down. You can get a 12-ounce bag of gourmet Cafe Caruba coffee for $7.99. Just download the Quick Rewards app. Order ahead, earn points, order all your favorites, plus pizza, take-home meals, and take care of the payment. Just stop by, pick it all up, or you can get it brought out to your curbside.
Quick Trip. All right, so we've got the 11 o'clock hour. We've got the weekend preview and then your headline of the week, which I think everyone figured out pretty effectively, again, on our social media channels.
They're not that hard to guess normally.
There's a couple. I know the one that I'm supposed to be working on, one of the two that I have been assigned, I think is not
as
easy.
There's a little nervousness within the academy that you're going to get this done. And I also said
I was going to do it this past week, and then I realized it's like week 8 and week 16 that I have.
Oh.
And here's my concern.
Okay.
You know, you guys did a great job of planning. What happens when certain things happen that mm-hmm. may adversely affect the storyline that you have selected for that week?
Hey, you do you. We have given you complete quality and creative control.
No, you haven't. You gave me a script.
You can there do is what no you creative want with control.
None whatsoever. Hey, read this.
Well, today's was good. I liked today's. I thought it was one of our better ones.
I thought my acting once again shined through. You guys are amateurs in comparison. We will get to that during the 11 o'clock hour. We need to get to the weekend preview to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. I am curious, Jesse, are you going to, again, usurp that segment, or are we going to let Riley go through the games, and then you can respond to
whatever you guys
want.
Well,
it keeps him from answering the phone and putting the people on the
air.
That
is true.
That was an awkward deal.
That wasn't great.
All right, so Riley, be ready. The weekend preview kicks off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes live from Steinhoffel's as part of their 90th anniversary celebration, and lots of shoppers coming through wondering what the heck we're doing in their foyer area. It's Wildy and Tausch.